always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Tarp Show here on a fantastic, really hot, steamy hump day. Ode to Steve Templeton there. June 19th, 2024, 4:06 in the p.m. Welcome to 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We got a jam-packed show featuring Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation and former Representative John Simmons, who is running for re-election. He's trying to get back into the Missouri House. We got Chris's Corner, Speaker Stump Speech, all kinds of great stuff this afternoon. Chris Harps, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mr. Jones. How are you?
Doing fine. Chris, did you see in one of the most ridiculous left-wing lunatic stunts ever, a bunch of goofy climate activists tried to deface Stonehenge, the famous monument in the UK.
Yeah, as I've said many times, I don't understand the point of these type of stunts when you seem to be annoying and making people angry to make them aware of your cause. Doesn't seem like a good strategy to me. We've seen this in Europe. We've seen them also try to throw paint on the Mona Lisa and other priceless works of art. This is absolutely silly. I think we got a clip on this, don't we?
Does Joey have something? Every time I think about this action, all I can think of is the famous cult classic from the 70s, Spinal Tap, where they made the little mini Stonehenge,
yeah,
and they had the midgets come in and accidentally kick it for a movie you can't make today that was made by Rob Reiner, believe it or not.
Yeah, Mr. Super Politically Correct.
Joey's
Hollywood,
got some sound on us.
Mogul.
Joey's got some sound on that for us. All right, here we go.
And Wiltshire police have arrested two people after they sprayed orange paint on Stonehenge.
Well, Just Stop Oil have shared a video saying it's to get the incoming government to sign up to a legally binding treaty to phase out fossil fuels by 2030. Of course, Stonehenge famously associated with oil, gas. I think the 5,000-year-old Neolithic Britons were prolific users of the internal combustion engine, and they drilled for lots of oil. So it makes perfect sense, of course.
Mm. Cheeky, you know, over there.
Cheeky.
Very cheeky Brits.
You know, we laugh at these people, and it is sick, but the, you know, big picture of this is, are these people probably don't believe in the God that we do, or if they have a God at all, their God is nature, they're pantheists, and so they're willing to do silly acts like this, believing that man can destroy the planet. Look, man can damage the planet if we are not good stewards of it, but I mean, man is a creature of survival, and if we are destroying our planet, people are going to figure out a way not to destroy the planet so we can be here and future generations are going to be here. But what you're witnessing is basically these people's religion, which is worshiping the earth. They're just like other liberals that worship the government. They worship something outside of Christ that we worship and believe in.
And how ironic, boy, the height of irony that these godless lunatics are defacing a monument to basically paganism, right?
Yeah.
Stonehenge is a monument to like, it was a pagan monument from the ancient days. Listen to what they said about this. One of the spokespeople here involved in this. Either we end the fossil fuel era or the fossil fuel era will end us. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. And they never have an alternative of what we're going to use in place of fossil fuels in the interim when the technology is not there yet, making these things very not cost effective. So what are we supposed to use in the interim? We're supposed to just live like we did 100 years ago till the technology keeps up. They don't ever seem to think that far ahead, and it's just like typical liberalism. It's very in the moment. It's not thinking in the future at all.
Yeah, these folks are self-haters. They're self-loathers. They really pretty much despise the human race. Chris, these are the people that propagate and promote the false myth of overpopulation. There is no overpopulation of this planet that has been proven with any theory. In fact, most of the most aggressively growing civilizations are now shrinking. Mm-hmm. They say that China could have, because of its ridiculous policies they had over the last many decades where you can only have one child, they think China's population could be cut nearly in half in the next 30 years. Mm-hmm. We have decreasing population in the United States of America. There's very few countries around the globe that are growing at all. Most of them are in South America. But beyond that, the world itself is depopulating itself all on its own.
Yeah, you have a couple of reasons for that. One, of course, is abortion and the free availability of contraceptives and free sex, and that the baby is a clump of cells. It's not a human being. But also because the women and the world has been told that for a woman to feel fulfilled, she has to have a job and a career. And a lot of times with women nowadays, that is more important than children. Children would take up too much time in trying to strive for their goals. I'm not saying that's wrong or anything. I just, that's my opinion, and that's, a lot of people have said that, and it's proven that. So I think it's those two things, abortion and the fact that people are more career oriented and trying to achieve material success, and kids are an afterthought.
Final statement here on this. This is a really ignorant and or stupid statement, maybe both. This is kind of the end of their statement on their defacing of Stonehenge. Today, the world needs a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty to phase out fossil fuels and to support dependent economies, workers, and communities to move away from oil, gas, and coal. Here's the problem with that. You can't grow a third world nation out of its third world status on solar or wind.
Exactly.
We have the luxury of pretending that those sources somehow will supplant baseload energy, which they won't, because we already have all the baseload energy we need. If you were to eliminate fossil fuels tomorrow, all the third world nations would become fourth world nations.
Yeah. And the way that a third world country becomes a second world country and a second world country becomes a first world country, and this is not something that I've come up with, this is things that I've read, is you have to have cheap energy. And oil and coal and things of that nature are very cheap, and that can help those struggling economies get on track and become prosperous. But if you put on a struggling economy where they have to have windmills and all of these green energy projects that are going to cost way more than traditional fuels, you're going to stagnate that economy instead of having that economy grow.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Two of the many ingredients for a third world nation to lift itself out of its poverty status are to have access to cheap food and cheap fuel.
And a good education system.
And a good education system to boot. And if you don't have those ingredients, then you're stuck there. Well, once again, we have solved all the world's problems.
We have.
Yes. We got a great show for all you here today. We should probably say hi to producer Joey V.
Joey!
Who watched a movie premiere last night. I remember what it was. Janet Planet.
Mm-hmm. A lot of great stuff in it, but it just didn't come together. It was 2 hours when it should have been 88. It was about a very young, maybe 11-year-old girl coming of age in the 90s. And it starred one of my favorite people, Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles movie. But nothing really gelled, and so I'm not going to recommend Janet Planet, but, you know, I'm still having faith with the A24 studio and whatever they got coming up next. But I'm most excited for Quiet Place 3.
Ooh.
Have you seen those with the bugs?
I have not.
They're scary. They're terrifying movies. Yeah, suspenseful.
So that's the next screening act coming up, and I'm excited for that
one. Okay.
You know, before we move on, and so I'm not called an Uncle Tom and a sellout, and I have to
that
today
Tom said that about you
today,
earlier.
I know he did. I know today is Juneteenth, so I want to celebrate that with those who celebrate that holiday. You know, and honestly to God, as an African-American, I don't know what I'm really supposed to celebrate. Am I supposed to celebrate that I'm free on that day, and that's what we celebrate. And in theory, in practice, I wouldn't have a problem with that. The whole issue with Juneteenth that I have a problem with is that it's not a day that's set aside to celebrate African Americans finally achieving their freedom. per se, quote unquote, here in America, but also follow up with all of the achievements that African Americans have achieved through segregation, through discrimination, the great contributions that African Americans have made to this country. Instead of the holiday being focused on that, I fear it's focused on slavery and reparations and white people owe us this and that because of slavery. And that's what I fear Juneteenth is evolving into, because we've seen that's what Black History Month has evolved into as well. And finally, Tim, finally, a sad note. Willie Mays,
yes.
The great Willie Mays,
yes.
Passed yesterday at 93. Now, I came of age in the early 70s where I started knowing what sports were. So Willie Mays was at the tail end of his career. He was still playing, but I don't remember the days when he was making catches over his shoulders and spectacular plays like that. But yeah, dead yesterday at the age of 93. Enjoy Cut One.
We are very sad now to relay this information that has just been released by the Giants, that the great Willie Mays has passed away. He passed away peacefully this afternoon at the age of 93. Michael Mays, Willie's son, quoted as saying, "My father has passed away peacefully and among loved ones. I want to thank you all from the bottom of my broken heart for the unwavering love you have shown him over the years. You have been his life's blood."
And he was from that great era of baseball, you know, in the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, where the guys weren't juiced up. And you could really respect these guys and heroes. And he's one of the last of the few left. Tim, I didn't know this, that he was the last African-American player to have played in the Negro Leagues and had made it to the major leagues. So 660 home runs without the juice. You got to give him some credit for that, right, Joey?
And he went to war for 2 years.
Yeah, that's true. They said he would have probably surpassed Babe Ruth 714.
That's amazing.
If he didn't go to the Korean War.
Well, I'm glad you brought all that up, because I wanted to ask you whether or not you like the fact we have Juneteenth now, and you've answered all the questions, and I like how you answered that, and you said, you know, sure, but let's honor all the achievements instead of, once again, having the left hijack a holiday and talk all about the oppression and the oppression matrix and how everything's life is unfair.
And the reason why I say that also is last year, I think, when the holiday became an official holiday for the first time, I had Facebook friends of mine, African-American Facebook friends, that were wearing T-shirts saying that this was their 4th of July. They don't celebrate the 4th of July, the freedom, the independence of their country. They celebrate Juneteenth as their 4th of July. And that saddened me as well. You know, we can still celebrate Juneteenth and the independence of our country, even though my ancestors weren't free during that time. But as I always say, look how far we've evolved, though, from that. And that's the thing that a lot of the focus is not on, unfortunately.
Well, and tying that into Willie Mays is just so, I think, pertinent, because baseball for many of us has a lot of good memories around it, right? Now, I'm not a baseball nut now like I used to be when I was younger, and not at all like Mike Ferguson, you know, and Snell, who are like encyclopedic when it comes to sports. But
we're trying to play baseball
right,
in middle age.
I play golf. I used to play hockey. I used to play ice hockey, but, you know, don't do any of that crazy stuff anymore. But one of my favorite, when I was a kid, I read a lot of like books about baseball, baseball stories. One of my favorite is one that they made into the movie Field of Dreams, the book Shoeless Joe,
right,
by W.P. Kinsella back in 1982. And I read it back in the 80s, and I just watched Field of Dreams again for the first time in a long time. What a powerful movie. In the book, the famous writer that was featured was J.D. Salinger, but in the movie, it was Terrence Mann, played by James Earl Jones. And it was just those scenes. James Earl Jones with that voice, he delivers that speech about baseball and why baseball is so powerful and emotional. And it is, I'm sorry. That movie, I think, makes grown men cry. And yeah, losing another giant from probably the golden age of baseball is a sad thing indeed. But he lived a life well lived at the age of 93.
Oh, yeah. And I have to admit here, and don't run off the road, anyone, but I have never seen the movie Field of Dreams. I've seen clips, of course, but I've never sat down from the beginning to the end and actually have watched
it. You need to watch it. It's an easy watch.
Kevin Costner movie, right?
It's a Kevin Costner movie.
I think that's why. Because he, and I've said this many times, Kevin Costner has improved dramatically.
Dramatically.
Dramatically as an actor in Yellowstone and some of his later work. But his early work, when he was getting all the acclaim, and I think most of it was because he was a handsome man, mm-hmm. but his acting was absolutely atrocious.
It was flat.
And so because of that, I didn't have any interest in his movies. I saw the movie Dancing with Wolves. I saw that years after it received the awards and everything. I just had no interest in his movies because I thought he was a horrible actor.
He's flat in a lot of his earlier movies. Yes. And he's a lot more expressive now.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, Tim.
I'll tell you what, though. Chris, Field of Dreams, he's surrounded by such, like James Earl Jones, he's surrounded by such a supporting cast, and the story is so powerful. I don't even pay much attention to Kevin Costner as much because Ray Liotta is in it. Ray Liotta plays Shoeless Joe.
Jackson,
He's Shoeless Joe. There's a famous cardinal. There's a St. Louis. He doesn't really do much, but there is a St. Louis cardinal on the field, and I want to know who that's supposed to be. I wonder if it's supposed to be like Dizzy Dean or somebody like that. But
I used to be like, oh my God, I've seen kids in high school plays act better than Kevin Costner. Yeah. It was just so bad, but he's come a long, long way.
Waterworld was one of the worst movies ever made.
He did some movie, Joey may know it or may not know it. It was a movie where he played an outlaw.
The Postman.
And he had kidnapped some kid, and they thought he had kidnapped him, but the kid came along with the ride. And, I mean, it was some of the worst acting. He was, like, trying to act like he had a Southern accent. He was like, yeah, Captain, I'm going to not kill the kid. I was like,
one that was. Which one was that?
Oh, horrible.
My Google foo has kicked in. It's a Clint Eastwood movie, A Perfect World, 1993.
I don't remember that one.
You didn't miss much.
Do you agree with that with Kevin Costner? Has he gotten better with age?
Tremendously.
As an actor?
He's a fine actor. You know, he does a lot behind the scenes, too. You know, it's probably his fault with this Field of Dreams game being taken away from MLB, and now we have to deal with a Negro League game tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. And he's the one that probably killed Willie Mays, too.
Send all your racist hate mail to Joey V.
I'm glad you're very careful there, too. That word has ended a lot of broadcast careers.
No, I'm very excited. You're going to be playing
leagues. Yes.
Tomorrow there's the Negro League game.
Yes.
Was it Rick Field?
Yes.
Something like that.
In Birmingham, I think.
It's in Birmingham. And then they're doing a St. Louis Stars tribute on Sunday at the Busch Stadium. Mm-hmm. So very cool.
I heard our buddy Rodney Boyd is going to be down at that game.
Yeah,
I heard that.
Rodney's probably throwing out the first pitch and then going out and playing left field. He's a VIP superstar.
Hey, we got to get to a break. Zach Smith, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, co-host of the SCOTUS 101 podcast, and a fellow you can see in person next Tuesday, June 25th at the St. Charles Funny Bone. We're all going to be there. You should join us. Go to newstalkstl.com to get tickets. We're going to talk to Zach about all the Supreme Court hand downs. Look at this, folks. We've got barely, 11 days left in June. Some big cases coming down the pike from the Supreme Court. We'll digest and dissect all of that with Zach next on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. Happy Juneteenth. 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
New York State's highest court has refused to hear former President Donald Trump's appeal of the gag order in his criminal hush money case following his felony conviction last month. Judge Juan Merchan barred the former president from publicly criticizing witnesses, lawyers, and others involved in the case, the first to bring criminal charges against a former U.S. president. The judge said Trump's comments could put his targets in jeopardy. Trump has repeatedly claimed the gag order violated his constitutional rights as he runs for the presidency once again. The New York Court of Appeals said Trump raised no, quote, substantial constitutional question about the gag order.
4:29 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. And Tim and Joey, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all perfectly legal.
You are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
Zach Smith. legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation.
You know, I ask you a lot of predictions. Can you predict what the Supreme Court probably will do with this action? And as he does every Wednesday, on the line with us is Zach Smith, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and co-host of the SCOTUS 101 podcast. Zach, I'm going to need you to be honest with me here. I bet you can barely sleep at night knowing that you're going to be coming to St. Louis to meet all your fans and to be with the Tim Jones and Chris Sarp's crew next week. How excited are you, Zach?
I am incredibly excited, Chris. I can't wait for it. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you guys and everyone else in person next week.
Now, you heard that clip. For us laymen, we don't understand why is there still a gag order in place when this trial has concluded.
Yeah, for us non-laymen, Chris, we don't really understand it either, to be perfectly honest. I mean, look, we've talked about it many times before, the constitutionally problematic nature of this gag order, the very serious First Amendment concerns that this would raise for anyone, but particularly for Donald Trump, because he's a leading candidate to once again be the president of the United States. And so the fact that Alvin Bragg opposed lifting this gag order, the fact that the trial judge wouldn't do it, the fact that the appeals court now won't do it is incredibly problematic. And unfortunately, I think it's, you know, plays into the perception, if not the reality, of the two-tiered system of justice, because you have Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, all of these other individuals are free to go out and attack Donald Trump for political purposes, and yet Donald Trump isn't allowed to respond and defend himself. It's indefensible, quite frankly.
Yeah, Zach, I want to follow up on this point because, you know, as a recovering lawyer myself, and still in the
Does it get better?
It does, Zach. It does, Zach. And I'm still in the good graces of both the bars of the state of New York and the state of Missouri, because I still pay my fees and go to my continuing legal education classes. But Zach, I agree with you. I think Chris makes a good point there. You know, not only is it the lay people, but as you followed up and said, you know, it's the lawyers too. Zach, I'm a former prosecutor, and I've done defense work in my career, and I don't understand how they're getting away with this. And I guess if it would go up to the Supreme Court, they'd probably reverse all of this. But, you know, Zach, the difference between us and many other nations, of course, is a couple things in criminal law. The burden of proof is on the government. And in many other nations, it's actually on the accused to prove themselves innocent, right? And secondly, in our system of jurisprudence, defendants can choose, the defendants in our system get to choose what they want to do and what they want to say, right, Zach? They can speak if they want to, they don't have to. Now, if they do speak, anything they say can and usually will be held against them. But Zach, I don't understand how a gag order against a criminal defendant, especially at this point after the trial is over, is not a violation of the Sixth Amendment and probably other aspects of the Constitution as well. Am I onto something?
Yeah, you're absolutely on to something, Tim, and you're doing pretty good for a recovering lawyer. You don't sound like you're very recovered there with that analysis, because I think it's spot on. And not only are there potential, you know, First Amendment, Sixth Amendment issues, fundamentally at the heart of this entire prosecution is a very real due process concern. You know, selective prosecution claims are traditionally very difficult to bring. Anyone who brings them will typically tell you they're a fool's errand. And yet, in this case, how many other times have prosecutors run for office explicitly pledging to prosecute a particular individual? That's exactly what Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, did. That's exactly what Alvin Bragg has done in this case. And then on top of that, there's the idea that Donald Trump and his legal team really weren't sure throughout the course of the trial the exact nature and the exact basis of the charges. We talked a lot about the underlying crime that Alvin Bragg needed to show Donald Trump allegedly intended to cover up, to bootstrap these misdemeanors into felonies. Yet that entire theory, that was unclear. So there's a fundamental due process, fundamental notice issue with this entire prosecution. And unfortunately, I think what many on the left are banking on at this point is that even though I think there's a very good chance Donald Trump will prevail on appeal, at least on some of these issues, if not on several of them, that takes time. The appellate process is not fast moving, and it's unlikely these charges will be sorted out before the upcoming election in November.
Speaking with Zach Smith, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and co-host of the SCOTUS 101 podcast. Zach, I want to play this and get your thoughts after it's over.
What's the latest on this Democratic push to ban bump stocks?
Well, it's not likely to pass. Now, why put this on the floor then if it's not expected to pass? Because Chuck Schumer knows that just as well as you and I do. The reality is he's looking to force Republicans to make this tough vote so that he can say Republicans are opposing what was a Trump-era policy. Remember, this ban on bump stocks came about during the Trump administration. That's what the Supreme Court struck down. So you can expect Democrats to make that point and Republicans to hit back saying that this entire thing is political.
And Zach, before you answer that, I'm hearing that there could be a case coming up on forced reset triggers or wide open triggers that allow shooters to fire more than 900 rounds a minute. Is that the next case that is coming up?
Well, I think it's certainly one many folks are watching. But look, fundamentally, Chris, this case involving the bump stocks, it was not a case involving the Second Amendment. It was a case about the scope and authority of the ATF and other regulatory agencies and how far they could essentially stretch their statutory prerogatives to enact new policies. And this bump stock ban, I think, is pretty clear, exceeded the scope of the authority of the ATF. And what's interesting, what you don't hear many on the left talking about, is that the conservative justices said, no, the ATF extended its, went past its appropriate authority in enacting this ban. And yet you don't hear much about the Trump appointed justices striking down this ATF policy that was implemented during the Trump administration. Now, even though this policy was implemented during the Trump administration, the other thing I'd say quickly is, you know, unfortunately, I think Donald Trump and many have talked about the need to have better procedures in place to make sure that kind of these rogue policies aren't being implemented if he is once again elected president. And so I think hopefully you wouldn't see a repeat of this type of action taking place.
And Zach, I'm glad you cleared that up because I think the public and myself included thought that this was a ruling on the bump stock itself, ruling that it was constitutional to turn a weapon into what some would say was a machine gun. I don't believe that, but it was actually because the ATF overreached their authority. And if they want to ban bump stocks, I guess that's something under Congress's purview.
Well, if Congress passed that law, then certainly that could be challenged on Second Amendment grounds, but that would be a fundamentally different legal argument than the one that was being made in this case, because again, this case, the very narrow legal issue was about the scope of the ATF's authority.
Zach, speaking of failed federal agencies, I noticed that on your Twitter feed, we can talk about one of your favorites. TSA. Zach, I noticed that at your at your wonderful hometown airport of Pensacola, also used to be one of my favorites, Zach, kind of a hidden gem back in the day. You could fly in and out of Pensacola very quickly and get to areas like Destin in Florida or Orange Beach or Gulf Shores in Alabama. It's kind of up in the panhandle there. Zach, apparently TSA is just having a dickens of a time doing what it's supposed to have figured out over the last 20 years, and that's how to move people through security lines.
Shocking.
Zach, why do you believe that this whole system would be so much better served if they're going to keep TSA, if they would just let it go out to the competitive market and be bid upon and have private actors take over?
Yeah, look, who would imagine, Tim, that the government is not the model of efficiency and customer service excellence? Right. I'm shocked to hear that. And that's fundamentally the problem we're having in Pensacola and many other locations as well, as TSA doesn't adequately staff the checkpoints. Some TSA workers, of course, are doing their best. Many, unfortunately, are not doing their best job to move passengers through efficiently. But there actually exists a program currently where certain individual airports can ask to hire private contractors who have been approved by TSA to perform the security screening functions that federal employees currently perform at many airports. And in fact, there was a study done about a decade ago looking at this program, and what the study found when they compared Los Angeles's international airport, LAX, to San Francisco's airport, which uses private security screeners, is that on average, the private security screeners could be somewhere in the neighborhood north of 60% more efficient than the government screeners. They have more flexibility. Of course, they have more leeway to discipline or terminate problematic employees because they don't have all the civil service red tape that many of the federal employees enjoy. And so this is something that I encourage our local elected leaders to explore. Our local leaders here actually had to get Congress involved, our representatives, our senators, to try to get TSA to provide more staffing. That has worked temporarily, but for a more permanent fix, I think going this privatization route would be a much better bet for the long term.
Zach, I'm sure you are aware of our circuit attorney, former circuit attorney here, Kimberly Gardner, and I say that tongue in cheek because you've written extensively on that plight. You know, after she resigned, she went AWOL, and the state treasurer was looking for her in order to question her about her office. She was recently found after working in a health center somewhere. I don't know how closely you've been following that saga, but your thoughts on Kimberly Gardner being found and questioned about the duties of her office?
Well, look, I'm glad she was found. It was a problem while she was in office, as the circuit attorney, often her own employees couldn't find her because she was overseas on boondoggles being funded by left-leaning groups. And in fact, if you read the chapter on Kimberly Gardner in our book, Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities, former employees, even defense attorneys, would tell you that one of the main problems with Kimberly Gardner, aside from her terrible policies, aside from her lack of prosecutorial experience, is just the fact that she often could not be found. There was nobody manning the office. Essentially, it seemed like she was asleep at the wheel. And it turned out that often the problem was she was on these boondoggles funded by these national left-leaning groups, and she wouldn't respond to emails. They couldn't make basic hiring and firing decisions, basic administrative decisions. And so now that she has been found, I'm hopeful that the state auditor and others we'll get some answers to some very real questions about whether she appropriately complied with all of the state's laws and rules and regulations for reporting her travel and that sort of thing, because at least in our research, that was not always.
And Zach, we later learned that when she was AWOL, she was attending classes getting an advanced nursing degree.
In addition to the boondoggles.
It doesn't
surprise you. That doesn't seem to leave a lot of time for actually prosecuting crime.
Mm-hmm. Zach, the Supreme Court term will likely be wrapped up in the next 10 days or so. I believe there's still several major hand downs that we're expecting. And Zach, between now and next Tuesday, when you join us with Joel Griffith for the Saving America event next Tuesday, the 25th, here in St. Louis at the St. Charles Funny Bone, we could have quite a few cases to discuss next Tuesday evening, right, Zach? Could you remind our audience of what are some of the major decisions we're still waiting for at this point in time?
Yeah, buckle up. The next few weeks are going to be absolutely insane in terms of major decisions from the Supreme Court. We have the Trump immunity decision the court still needs to hand down. We have several major First Amendment social media cases, the net choice cases out of Florida and Texas, whether states can prohibit these big tech companies from deplatforming someone based on their political views. Of course, there's the big First Amendment tech case out of Missouri, Murphy versus Missouri, whether the federal government inappropriately pressured tech companies, social media companies to de-emphasize certain disfavored views, particularly related to COVID-19. There's also a very important case that it could impact the ability of communities to deal with homeless populations. The Grants Pass case, where the Ninth Circuit out on the West Coast issued an absolutely insane decision saying that certain anti-vagrancy statutes violated the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishments. And there are several others as well. So there's certainly going to be a lot to talk about over the next few weeks once the Supreme Court releases these decisions.
Zach, I thought for sure you were going to say, buckle up, buttercup, when you were about to announce that, but you surprised me there. Looking very much forward to seeing you next week. Tim, you've got the paper over there. Give the good folks, again, when Zach's going to be here and all that good information while we have him on the
line
with us.
Absolutely, Chris. Zach's coming in here to join us on Tuesday, next Tuesday, June 25th, St. Charles Funny Bone. It's a great venue, Zach. You're really going to like this venue. It's a new venue. It's really cool. Streets of St. Charles, which is a great location right here on the Collar County of St. Charles County, just about 15 minutes from the airport. Saving America 2024, the economy and the courts, featuring, yes, Zach Smith, the guy we're talking to now, and his colleague Joel Griffith. Tickets available. Yes, they're free, but you need to get a seat. NewstalkSTL.com. Zach, thanks so much for coming in next week. Chris and I, Joey, the whole gang here, we really appreciate it.
Of course. Looking forward to it, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Zach, try to get some rest. I know it'll be difficult.
I'll do my best, staying well caffeinated.
Excellent, excellent. 4:45 coming up, Chris's Corner. We'll have a little Biden, little Donald Trump 2024 campaign news, bring you up to speed on that. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk, Soros Free Radio.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu releasing an angry video message accusing the U.S. of, quote, withholding weapons and ammunition from Israel, claiming that is limiting Israel's ability to, quote, finish the job faster in Gaza. The White House saying only one shipment of 2,000-pound bombs to Israel has been delayed, something President Biden announced last month. The U.S. withholding those heavy munitions from Israel to reduce civilian deaths in Gaza, say U.S. officials. And on the suggestion that more weaponry and ammunition is being withheld, the White House saying it doesn't know what Netanyahu is talking about, adding there are no other pauses to weapon supplies.
4:51 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And Tim, a further development on that, the White House is really pissed off that Netanyahu did that video. Because of that, they canceled a high-level U.S.-Israel meeting on Iran that was scheduled for Thursday. So that's really kind of juvenile. This is our top ally in the Middle East, a longtime friend, to withhold weapons from them while they're in a fight for their survival. And then in a little tit for tat, like, children, cancel this meeting is, par for the course for this administration and the Democrats, I think.
The only actual democracy in that part of the world. Let that sink in. And all this administration does is find new ways to crap on them every single day.
Exactly. Hey, before we get to Chris's Corner, you know, we've been talking about how that RAM settlement money seems to be just burning a hole in the city of St. Louis's pockets, specifically Tashara Jones. We've had the program to help out with people that are behind on their rent. We've had the program to help out people to pay back taxes on their license plate tax, get their personal property taxes taken care of. Now I read in the Post-Dispatch that St. Louis has a program, Tim, where they're going to offer $500 to people who are behind on their water bills. So City of St. Louis gets a little largesse there, and what do? They spread it out to the people. And as a recovering attorney and politician, is it a coincidence that Tashara Jones is offering this program while she is running for re-election against a possibly a tough opponent?
Chris, I don't believe in coincidences. I do believe in connections, and I think you just established one right there.
Excellent. One other couple of things. We talked about it yesterday about the races that people are going to be watching Tuesday in Virginia and in Oklahoma. Bob Good has lost his primary in the 5th District. He is losing by just over 300 votes with all the precincts in. Of course, that will be a recount. We know that he had Kevin McCarthy and both McCarthy and Donald Trump supporting his opponent. It's kind of a testament to him that even with McCarthy and Trump behind it, he's only losing by 300 or 400 votes. Tim, you said you know him or have heard of him. He's a very popular guy in his district. Yeah. And so that proves there. But his congressional career may be over. The other race people were looking at were in, was in Oklahoma. Representative Tom Cole, who is now in leadership. He is establishment, has been there a long time. Someone with deep pockets put $5 million in the race, to take him out. Tom Cole won handily. He won with 67% of the vote. And you know, the thing that I like about Representative Tom Cole, I've got to know him a little bit when I was doing some work in Oklahoma, and he actually was the keynote speaker for Lincoln Days here, maybe about 10 or 12 years ago. He is a congressman, Tim, but he started his career as a political consultant.
Oh, really?
And ran campaigns for governors and senators and all that. And I guess he was like, hey, I've won plenty of campaigns for other people. Why don't I do it myself and run? And he ran for Congress, and he's been there probably 10, 12 terms at least. Got about 2 minutes left, Joey. Let's see if we can get into a little Chris's Corner.
Chris.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
Did you like that St. Louis accent there? Mm-hmm. The St. Louis Corner?
Corner. Carly would love that.
Fiery fire.
You know, I think I was right. I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. Remember I said after Joe Biden came back from the G7 meeting and he has the big debate next week, that he's probably not going to have a lot on his schedule. We reported yesterday that he and his wife are in Rehoboth Beach at the beach house. That's where the president goes on the weekends to rest. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd like to talk about the president's daily briefing. The only thing that he has on his schedule today was at 10 a.m. was to get his daily intelligence briefing. 10 a.m. I doubt that Joe Biden was probably up at 10 a.m. That's probably what they put on the schedule. You know, this is from Axios, and it tells how the Democrats are really nervous about Joe Biden's prospects for November. It says, this is a scene, quote, many senior Democrats, including some of the President Biden's aides, doubt his theory for victory, which relies on voters' fears about January 6th, political violence, democracy, and Donald Trump. A Democratic strategist in touch with the campaign tells Axios, it is unclear to many of us watching from outside whether the president and his core team realize how dire the situation is right now and whether they can even have a plan to fix it. That is scary. That's from a Democrat insider here. And I didn't know this. Did you know that the Environmental Protection Agency has a union? Yes, they do, Tim.
Oh, boy.
And Joe Biden received the first ever political endorsement from EPA's largest union.
Shocker.
The AFGE, whatever that stands for, Council 238, represents more than 8,000 workers, and his endorsement will proceed in education and get out the vote campaign focus on Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. So the EPA has a union, and they've endorsed President Trump. Surprise, surprise. And that is Chris's Corner. Coming up at 5:07, Speaker Stump Speech.
Chris, we got a little update on the Representative Ben Baker situation involving Haiti.
Oh, good. And in studio with us will be John Simmons. He's a two-term state rep for District 109 Franklin, and he's a candidate for the same office. He'll be in studio with us. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show on 101.9-94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.